Welcome to the Ring of Honor review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, not too bad, Oliver. Happy New Year to yourself and to all our listeners out there. Really looking forward to talking about some Ring of Honor in the start of 2020. So, yeah, I'm all good. How about yourself?
Happy New Year to yourself and obviously to our listeners as well. Yeah, all good. Just much like yourself. It's time for episode 9 of the ROH TV review. So, without any further ado, we've got lots of news to talk about. Saturday Centre Stage this Saturday, the 11th of January. Matches have been added. So, we have the Briscoes, Mark and Jay, versus the Lifeblood of Mark Haskins and Tracy Williams, versus Jeff Cobb and Dan Maff. Shane Taylor is going to speak on his ROH future. Dalton Castle and Joe Hendry are going up against the Master and the Machine, Griff Garrison and Marcus Cross. And Jason Cade is going to be appearing too for the Dalton Castle and Joe Hendry match. I think that's being taped for TV just before the actual show takes place. On the Sunday, January the 12th, on the Reign Supreme, these matches have been added. The Briscoes versus Dalton Castle and Joe Hendry. Jeff Cobb, Dan Maff, Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. The final two competitors being the ROH World Tag Team Champions. They're going up against the Bouncers, my favourite wrestler, Beer City Bruiser, and Brawler Milanos. And two guys, one tag, Last Real Man, Silas Young and Josh Woods. So the last match is interesting because the Bouncers and Silas Young have got a story past. Me and Stephen will talk about these matches and the other matches for Centre Stage and Honor Reign Supreme in our ROH preview show of those shows later on this week. Full-time deals have been given to Dragon Lee, Dan Maff, Flamita, Bateman and Slex. Bully Ray has finally spoken out about why he attacked Maria Manic. He said, "You walk into my house and do my stuff and you don't expect repercussions." He attacked Maria Manic because she tied to powerbomb Angelina Love through a table. Top prospect winner of 2019, Dake Draper's got his eyes set on the returning Danhausen. We have a free show coming up, Free Enterprise, on the 9th of February in Baltimore. Vet Tickets is this new thing that ROH is running where veterans can get free tickets to shows. It's part of the hashtag ROH Cares. On the show, you'll see the debuting Slex versus Flip Gordon, Briscoes versus Bandido and Flamita. Dan Maff and Jeff Cobb will take on the ROH World Tag Team Champions, Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. Also competing are ROH World Champion PCO, Roosh, Mighty Skrull, and the debuting session, Moff Martina. And the last piece of news is a big thank you to Justin von der Liger. Stevens wrote an article on the Wrestling Estate about the Japanese junior heavyweight legend. And he has just finished up with the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom shows. He's a long storied career. And we wish Justin von der Liger the best in retirement because he has brought so much joy over the last, well, I don't even know, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, 36 years.
Has it been amazing. 36 years?
Yeah, wow. Amazing.
Obviously, in 1992, he had the feud with Brian Pillman over the WCW light heavyweight title, didn't he? That's when I remember him going back to that point. So, yeah, Stephen hasn't spoken too much at this moment in time, but just talking about the news and anything that I've just mentioned will be talked about in great detail on future shows. The ROH Star Spotlight.
Yep.
And this week we are focusing on the guy who's just had a recent birthday and is one of our favourites in ROH that we hope to stay in ROH and will address his future in Atlanta this Saturday night. And that is Shane Taylor Promotions. Shane Taylor.
Yeah.
Take it away, Stephen.
So yeah, happy birthday, Shane Taylor, if you're listening. And I hope you had a great time recently for your birthday. So just to kind of overview Shane Taylor's career, he began, I can't believe, like 5 years ago back in Ring of Honor, doing dark matches and sort of prelims with, believe it or not, he used to tag with Keith Lee, who's now of WWE NXT fame and of Evolve fame as well, where they were actually known under a tag team as the Pretty Boy Killers. And they actually, yeah, and they had quite a few decent matches against various different people. And, you know, although they didn't get very high up the card and they were involved in sort of, you know, a lot of the lower stuff, they really both showed potential. And as we've seen, you know, obviously Shane Taylor stayed with Ring of Honor, and then Keith Lee, once they disbanded, went over to Evolve, and then eventually the WWE and NXT. And from there, he was always part of the card. He's always had a really strong career in Ring of Honor, but it only really kind of started picking up these past couple of years, so sort of 2018, where he was really able to show what he was able to do. So he was able to get several shots at the World TV Championship, and although he didn't win it at that point, you could really see the potential in what he was doing. I mean, like on the TV shows, you could see his, as we've seen ourselves recently, you know, his promo ability and his, you know, his camera ability in front of the fans and on the screen. And he also fought for the several times for the World Six-Man Tag Team Championships. But again, he didn't actually win that championship, but he did fight for it several times with various different opponents. And he also fought several times with Bully Ray as part of sort of a makeshift tag team there, which was, you know, which was quite decent. But I always wanted him, Shane, to always be on his own, like to be a singles guy. And then it's really been this year, we're in 2020 now, last year, 2019, where he really found his feet, where he finally was able to win the World TV title at War of the Worlds against Jeff Cobb, which also involved, the match also involved Brody King and Hiroki Goto of New Japan. Yeah, he would have such a great, finally, once he won the belt, he was able to just show what he was able to do as a World TV champion. And I actually believe he's probably the strongest World TV champion since, as far as it goes back. I mean, Jay Lethal for one, but also I'd say the original inaugural champion, Eddie Edwards, where he was just putting on such great matches and an overall great champion. He really made the belt his own. And as we saw on the TV show recently, he had that great match against Bandido, he had that great match against Dragon Lee at Final Battle, the great match against Joe Hendry on the TV show, and yeah, he's just a really strong asset to the Ring of Honor roster, really brings something fresh to the table. I mean, I think the Shane Taylor promotion stable as well, when he was finally able to find his feet, are a really great stable, harking back to kind of the Nation of Domination and things like that, where, you know, that really kind of militant style to it, which I thought was great. Hugely charismatic. You know, crowds have always really been into him, whether he's been a majority of his career has been a heel, but he also has had times where he's been a babyface, but he's always had the crowd behind him. And yeah, he's just I just hope that he stays with the company or is able to stay with the company, because I just want to see him grow as a talent. I want to see him challenge for the Ring of Honor World Championship at some point against PCO. I feel that would be a really cool match to see. And he's really, again, he's one of these wrestlers where he's gradually worked his way up the card. So much like, as I've mentioned before, people like Dalton Castle or people like Matt Taven, you know, they've gone on from winning the World TV Championship to then win the World Championship and gradually gone up the card and grown as a performer. And Shane Taylor, again, is one of those guys who has over time, you know, got the fans behind him, including ourselves, and really built his, you know, his repertoire and his wrestling ability up. So, yeah, great talent and someone who people, as we've mentioned many times on the show, need to check out and need to seek out matches. And I'm sure me and Oliver will definitely recommend Shane Taylor matches to watch from what we've seen and, you know, things we've I've seen in the past as well. So, yeah, that's my Ring of Honor spotlight for this week with Shane Taylor. And as I mentioned at the beginning, I wish you a happy birthday for the other day, Shane Taylor. So, yeah, hope that was a good tribute to you.
Very good. 20 seconds over.
Oh, 20 seconds today.
Yeah. You usually do it in 3.5 minutes, but you paying a great homage to Shane Taylor, who had amazing 2019, so I allowed it. So just going into the show itself, highlights of Jay White versus Kashika Okada. Jay White goes in as a champion. He doesn't leave that way. The next match was the G1 Supercard Never Openweight title, which Will Ospreay held against the ROH World Television title that Jeff Cobb held. I saw this on Mary-Kate Anthony's ROH Honor Club rewind of the G1 Supercard. So it's not that fresh in my mind. So I just remember this being just two different styles. Obviously, Ospreay's, you know, fast and furious kind of style. Jeff Cobb's got the cruiserweight element, but very, you know, strong and very strength based against like pace and agility. Yeah, just really enjoyed this match. But like I said, it's not fresh in my mind, Stephen. So what would you like to say about this match?
I thought it was a really strong, fun opener. I think, you know, it really helps. I mean, that Jeff Cobb is just so athletic, because Will Ospreay, like you've mentioned, is such a crazy high flyer with the things he can do. And it was just that the crowd got so into it, and they just used the whole ring and the outside, and it was frantic, it was fast, it was some innovative stuff in it as well, and the use of the cutters and, you know, the tour of the islands, what Jeff Cobb gave to Ospreay, and he landed him right in the middle of the mat. I thought it looked perfect on the hard cam in Madison Square Garden. I thought it looked great to end the match. So I really enjoyed this. I thought it was really a really strong start to the show, and it's one of those matches again where I would love to see them go at it again, just because, you know, both men are so talented that it's one of those things where it's just a taster to what they can do. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, and Jeff Cobb went in undefeated and stayed that way and became the Never Openweight Champion at the same time as becoming the ROH World Television Champion, didn't
he? Yeah, so, great stock there, yeah.
Yeah. Next up was highlights, but this is kind of how long the match was, between Roosh and the Party Peacock, Dalton Castle. Basically, a feather ended up in the ring. Dalton Castle got distracted by that, and Roosh gave him the bull's horns, and that was it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next up was the Honor Rumble, which featured the aforementioned Justin von der Liga and the Great Muta, making his ROH return after 16 years, because he was part of the All Japan ROH show Final Battle 2003.
He was, correct? Yeah.
Steven.
He was, yeah, the main event. Yep. Yeah.
So 16 years for Muta, and Justin von der Liga was 2004, but he's been on different shows since, hasn't he? He was against Brian Danielson.
And
in this match, this was, I don't like rumbles. very difficult to follow. The main thing that came out of it was Kenny King eliminates Liga and Muta and the fans just hate him for it.
Yeah.
Which really works because it kind of suits Kenny King's personality. And to get the opportunity to eliminate two legends of Japanese and just pro wrestling in general is huge for Kenny King.
Yeah.
Is that what you got out of this on the Rumble?
Yeah, definitely. I thought it was really clever that he came in first, Kenny King, and then we didn't see. If you see the whole thing, he hid away, and then he suddenly, came and won it at the end. And he would also, take out the two most popular wrestlers in the whole. Well, I believe anyway, the two most popular wrestlers in the whole match, who then were having kind of a dream match at the end in the Garden. It was such a sort of clever way to end it. His reaction, Kenny King, and his cockiness just came through great on the. On the hard cam and on the cam, well, on the screen, and the brief bit of interaction we saw between Liger and the Great Muta was great as well. The fact that they're both in their 50s, they can still go like nobody, just so good. One thing I always love as well, or what we got through on the camera as well, or on the screen, was just I love how the Great Muta always had the different masks, and that particular mask, I just love this kind of steampunk style of it with the sort of bronzy look to it. I just thought that looked really cool and stuff. And it was just that little tidbit as well, where I just, love that kind of thing. Just that, it was great. Again, it was a great highlight.
The only thing that I didn't like was Liger didn't come out to Liger's music.
No, I hated that. I was about to say.
Probably the greatest theme music ever in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Brings me back to like the Wrestling Channel days. Yeah, next up, once again, just highlights, very quick highlights. Ibushi Naito for the IWGP Intercontinental title. Yeah, four-way tag team title match with the two titles on the line. The Gorillas of Destiny, the IWGP Tag Team Champions. The Villain Enterprises, the Briscoes were the ROH World Tag Team Champions, imagine. Yeah. And Evil and Sanada in that match. And once again, you didn't really see too much. And the other match that was highlighted, once again, not too much, was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match between Bandido, Dragon Lee, and Taiji Ishimori. From this moment in time, with everything that's happened before, the ROH TV show goes straight onto the main event, which is a triple threat ladder match for the ROH World title between Marty Scurll, Matt Taven, and Jay Lethal, the ROH World Champion. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was a really, it was kind of a match of two opinions to me, and I don't know, I'll kind of get your opinion in a minute about this, but I thought what they actually did with the ladders, and I thought the actual match itself was really, there were some really innovative spots, and there were some really brutal looking, ladder bumps, and some really brutal bits with, foreign objects. I mean, that bit where Jay Lethal was, in the Tree of Woe, and he had his head locked into the ladder, and then Marty Scurll went for him with the chair, I thought was a really clever but gruesome looking, hardcore spot for a, especially
stole that from my notes.
Yeah. thought that was vicious. I thought at the beginning as well, Matt Taven's crazy dive out onto the ladder, onto Lethal and onto Scurll was great as well. As always, I think that's a great dive, what he does. I thought it was, but what I feel hurt this match, and this is the problem, is that the actual show itself, there was so much going on that actual program that it felt like the crowd were very dead. There wasn't much crowd noise or crowd sort of excitement for what was going on. It was only when Matt Taven was about to get the belt, or when Marty was about to get the belt, that the crowd kind of got all really amped up. It just felt like they were kind of sat there on the hands, just kind of watching it, even though there was all this, death-defying stuff going on. It just felt kind of a bit of a damp squib from the audience participation side. But I have heard that Madison Square Garden, but I don't know if I agree with this or not, the acoustics in the building can sometimes be particularly poor to grab on the mic. I have heard that, but I disagree with that statement because, you know, from hearing WWE shows in the garden, they're completely different in terms of how the crowd sound to what, you know, this show sounded or this particular match sounded.
Yeah.
But although we disagree, I was pleased that Taven won, but that's only for personal reasons in that I'm such a huge fan of Matt Taven. But looking back objectively, it should have been Matt Skrull who won because he was the most over guy in the match and it was his time to win the belt. But in terms of the little, you know, personal subjective fan in me, I was just glad that Taven won just because I've been following his career since he began in Ring of Honor. So, you know, it was a good, you know, happy moment for me, but and for Taven, obviously. But yeah, I thought it was a good, strong ladder match. And on any other show, it would have really made a massive impression. But because it was on such a densely packed show with so many different matches, with so many different superstars, I feel that it, as an overall package at the time, I feel it got lost in the ether a lot. But a standalone match, I thought it was really strong and a really good way to end the TV show. I mean, what were your thoughts on it, Oliver?
Well, you stole the Tree of Woe in the ladder shot from me. So I thought that, like I said, from an innovation perspective, I thought they did quite well. Lethal with the figure four and Marty through the ladder was quite smart. The best thing that Taven did in the match was the powerbomb on Lethal, where he kind of ran with him and powerbombed him on a ladder outside the ring. I thought that was really showed off his strength and the lengths that the guys were going to try and win the title. You know, Taven showed his kind of charisma by spoiling like Marty's, you know, chicken wing kind of taunt. And he kind of looked into the camera and he's like, oh, okay, that's, this is this guy. Chicken wing on top of the ladder was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
Cool visual. Spear by Taven on Mighty Skrull through the table, which smashed the table outside the ring. Lethal elbow dropped Taven through the table outside the ring, big ladder. But the thing with this is, like, Taven got back into the match quite quickly afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I know kind of it because of the ending and stuff, but that kind of didn't make sense to me because obviously you've had to work really hard to put someone through a table with an elbow drop from about 10, 15 feet in the air. The purple ladder was really cool. I thought that was quite smart. That just like sums up what a heel would do to win the title. You know, with a really long ladder and then obviously being quite close to the title. And yeah, you know, Marty has an out because he, you know, they had the two ladders set up with the purple ladder, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Marty got dropped on his knee, which obviously he'd injured during the match. And then Taven smacks Lethal with the title. Lethal falls through the opposite ladder. And you have a new ROH world champion, which is Matt Taven. So don't know much about him. I've only seen, you know, little bits and pieces with the Kingdom and stuff, and obviously him losing the title to Roosh at a Death Before Dishonor, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's just going to be, you know, when we're able to get around to it and stuff, when we talk about rebooking the G1 Supercard, this will be, you know, something that factors into it, as will Ospreay and Jeff Cobb's placement on the card.
Yeah.
So kind of saving stuff for that, if I'm completely honest. But much like you, this was Marty's time to win the title. He could have had the same title reign as Matt Taven, lost the title to Roosh, who loses it to BCO. So you could have interchanged those two guys as champions. And maybe if Taven carries on his chase for the title, will he be more respected now in 2020, not having not held the title? Could 2020 have been his year? You don't know, do you?
No.
Because it's all relative. So,
yeah,
me and Stephen are kind of keeping a lot of our thoughts back for the rebooking of the G1 Supercard. But, yeah, for what I expected of this match, I thought it was better than what I expected. It was innovative. They really did bust their ass. I agree with the fans. Support wasn't really there, apart from when Marty was going for the title or Taven was close to it. They really hated Taven. Just that, really. Just to finish up the TV show, because it went straight into the ending. It was a nice touch to thank each of the production crew, the office crew members, the ring crew, the wrestlers and the fans. And then the show kind of went off the air.
Yeah.
So
I really like that. Just to say as well, I really like that touch as well. I thought that was a really nice way to, I know that Ring of Honor have had a lot of criticism put towards them as of late, but I thought that was a really nice touch to do that and to list all of the people who make it possible, and a really nice tribute to the fans as well, who I feel they still are the best fans in the world, most passionate fans in the world, including ourselves, and the most the Ring of Honor fans, I feel, are diehard fans in that, you're there to the bitter end, in that, you follow it from the beginning and they're still here. So I thought that was a really nice touch to finish the show. Really nice.
Absolutely. And yeah, that kind of rounds up the ROH TV review for this week. In closing, I am a three-time pro wrestling author, and I've got two books with Ring of Honor mentioned in them. My first book is A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And the second book, that's called A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. And they're available on Amazon, on paperback and Kindle. Kindle instantaneously, Kindle Unlimited for free. Or if you'd like a signed copy, get in contact with me on afansperspective.bigcartel.com. And yeah, I just really appreciate the support. Just to add this in, I've just had my 150th sale, which is amazing. I've had three British wrestling books bought in general, and two paperbacks in the Kindle, and that's brought me up to 150. So, just wanted to share that with everyone. Thank you very much for your support. And for Stephen, we touched on his Justin von der Liger article earlier. He wrote other articles, and I'm sure he'd like to promote them there.
Yeah, certainly. You can find my written work, as Oliver mentioned. I've just written today, as of Justin von der Liger's retirement. I've written articles for the Wrestling Estate. So if you go onto Google and you search for the Wrestling Estate, you'll be able to find my articles about various different aspects of the industry. As well as my colleagues, we cover the WWE, we cover Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, New Japan, the independent scene, and each week we have a weekly roundtable where we cover a different set of questions and we all put our answers across, and they're always really interesting to read through and to hear different people's perspectives on different parts of the industry. And you can find the Wrestling Estate as well on Twitter. So if you use the Twitter handle at the Wrestling EST, so that's at the Wrestling Est, so for the estate, you can find us on Twitter as well. And myself, if you want to follow me on Twitter, just to mention my own Twitter handle, it's at stj215, where you can send me any, as Oliver often mentions, we haven't had it tonight, Oliver, often any hate mail or any Matt Taven hate mail, you can send that across to me on Twitter. Or if you're in agreement with Oliver and myself and you want to follow Oliver, I'm sure, and want to, start a petition with him to get the Ring of Honor Pure Championship back in Ring of Honor, I'm sure he'll let you know.
I love the way you read my mind, Stephen, but it's quite dangerous.
It had to get in. We had no chance to get. We could have mentioned it with the Never Openweight title, but we didn't get a chance to mention it there. So that's the closest we're going to get. So So yeah, so take it away, Oliver.
The ROH Pure title. See, the really interesting thing about this is that I looked at the history of it and stuff. It was only there for like just over 2 years, but look at the indelible mark that it's left on our lives.
Exactly. It is crazy.
For ourselves at Broken But Glorious, we've got a partnership with powerslam.tv. Don't think there's any Ring of Honor content on there at the moment, which is unfortunate. But they've got 6,500 plus hours of wrestling from 140 plus promotions. And you can, you can look at the content involved for a month for free if you use our code BROKENFREE. For myself, my Twitter is @Brumial. My Instagram's @Brumial. My Facebook is A Fan's Perspective UK. For the hub, it's @BBGWrestling on Twitter. For the main show, it's @BBGWPod. The only other thing is our website, which is BBGWrestling.com. And yeah, that kind of wraps it up for tonight's edition of the ROH TV review. And we hope you've enjoyed it. And like we said before, thank you very much for supporting us up until this point. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see everyone next week. So thanks for listening. See you later.
Bye for now.
Bye.